Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Mark Reardon Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Wow. Sue Thomas, I think you'd agree on this. It is a beautiful, beautiful weather day in our city, isn't it?
Yes,
one of those 10% days. We have a lot of fun going on in this city with Evolution Festival. I have to start with this. Let me introduce the panel here as we get started here. Sue is in the house after a few days off. Earlier this week, Fred, the Hall of Famer, working behind the scenes. Ethan's phone is going off as he's leaving the... whose phone was it? Was it Sue's?
Jane.
Oh, it was Jane. I should have known that. Of course it was.
I usually turn it off.
Hi, Jane. How are you?
Well, clearly my phone was on.
That's okay.
So,
it happened. You know what? Believe it or not, the host even better check that.
Because sometimes, I got to it quick. I'm doing great. It's beautiful out. And
it
it's
really
actually
is.
Not 30 degrees in here.
Oh, it's still cold. Just wait. Give
yeah,
it a little time.
I mean,
I think you'll find that it is. Jeff Rainford's here, the former chief of staff for Mayor Slate with Rainford and Associates. Jeff, good to see you.
Great to be here. If I look different, I married off my daughter 2 weeks ago. It was a great week.
Oh,
and
congrats.
In case you haven't noticed, my disposable income has quadrupled.
There you go.
Nice job.
Congratulations
Thank
on
you.
That. I did not know. He's sporting his Reardon Roundtable t-shirt, too, which is pretty fancy. James Knowles,
Goodness.
We need to get you some swag from the Reardon Roundtable, right?
Reardon swag, absolutely.
Former Mayor of Ferguson, James, is here with us this afternoon. Let me just say this as a shot against the Post-Dispatch, just because I don't really get it. They had, maybe I'm missing something here, but they did a story today. You know, they often do this as you head into the weekend. 10 things that you should do around St. Louis this weekend. There is a huge music festival that is going on in Forest Park for 2 days. Lenny Kravitz, Sublime, Father John Misty, who I love, Sam Fender tomorrow night. We're going to feature a guy named James Walburn, who's the guitarist for a band called His Lordship. He's also Chrissy Hines' guitarist in The Pretenders. And in the Post, they don't even mention it. Now, Pride Fest in Tower Grove, that made the list. But how can you, as a major daily, I mean, I'm asking seriously this, and
so,
there's a
so
huge
there,
music
Kevin
festival.
Is Kevin Johnson still there? Did he leave?
No,
Kevin,
he left. He left.
Yeah, so
if
that's
Kevin
why. That's
there,
the answer to your question. Kevin did a great job of covering music of all kinds. And, you know, newspapers, they're cutting back because they don't have the readers because people are doing other things other than reading newspapers, and you lose people like Kevin Johnson, and the result is what you just saw.
Well, I think that is part of it. I didn't really love the way that Kevin left with some parting shots on country music and Morgan Wallen and all that. But that's another story. I'm so happy today, guys, and you may not even know why I'm happy, but
can
I'm just
going
to, you can guess, and I think you know. She's the gift that keeps on giving, and this was like Christmas in September when I read that Cori Bush is going to run for her old seat. Oh, my God, can I put up yard signs? James, are you with me?
Are you with me?
Let's put up yard signs.
I won't have to work very hard because I don't think there's going to be many takers.
So, James. This
may be the only two.
But wait a second here. This is a serious story that she is thinking about running. She's raising money.
Oh,
she's organizing for.
I mean, she's not raising any money. Okay. She has
she's
no
asking
money.
For money.
Yeah.
She's still in a deficit, and her husband's still going to trial on his crime, whatever he's been alleged to have done, you know, the SBA loan stuff. So, I mean, it's crazy.
Now, listen, everybody knew the minute she lost
she was not
that this
take
was going
well.
To be the situation.
Right.
And Wesley Bell knew this was going to be the situation. And he has been raising money. He's been paying attention to constituent services. You know, it's a little difficult when you are a freshman in the minority party to make much of a splash in Washington. But he's trying to, you know, go to stuff and pay attention to stuff here. I had lunch with him the other day. He knew then, and he's known from day one that she was going to run. And I asked him, you know, the APAC, the Jewish Political Action Committee heavily supported him last time, made a big deal. They're going to, he says they're going to support him again. There's some competitive races in St. Louis County that will gin up turnout there, and he killed her in St. Louis County. So I think you take nothing for granted, but I like his chances.
Yeah. When you're talking about races, you were talking about races next August, right?
Yes.
And they'll
correct.
Be county
the primary is next August.
Things along those yes. lines.
And she doesn't have any allies in any of those races. I mean, so there's nobody that's ginning up turnout for her. It's just going to be her. I mean, her only ally was Mayor Jones, and she lost too. So,
well, no, now, Sam Page was one of her supporters. So that'll be, I mean, that'll be good for.
But okay, now,
help her much, right?
Jane, on the surface, though, I see something like this morning. I laugh. We're kind of laughing along with the story here. But, you know, your people are crazy on your side, James. We know. Is it out of the question that she could win a primary?
Oh, I don't think she could win. I really don't. I think they've decided that way of doing things was not helpful. And I think the whole radical progressive stuff, I think people are getting real tired of it.
Well, especially around here.
I was going to say, right? Sounds like it's working in New York City. So.
Yeah, but in fairness, it is different here. And, true. You know, I don't really know. Wesley's still taking the party line on most things, but I have heard.
Of course he is. He should.
Yeah, he's a Democrat. I get that. But he's working with the Republicans on some issues.
Yeah,
Senator
it's
Hall,
not my issue,
so,
but on the contamination, the nuclear contamination in North County, he worked with Senator Hawley.
Yep.
He's worked with them on other things. I mean, he's going to be a partisan Democrat. He's on the oversight committee. So if the Democrats take back the House, he'll be doing, you know, part of the investigations of the president. So he is a Democrat. But yeah, he's trying to deliver for his constituents. I asked him what he spends a lot of time on, and he said helping his constituents with Social Security and Medicare benefits. That's what members of Congress do, and he's doing it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about, as I was leaving the air last night, the story broke about Jim Comey being indicted. I couldn't help myself. I had to listen to CNN instead of Fox because they were just, their minds were exploding. Their heads were exploding over there. And then Jim Comey, who goes on Instagram and says this.
My family and I have known for years that there are costs to standing up to Donald Trump. But we couldn't imagine ourselves living any other way. We will not live on our knees, and you shouldn't either. Somebody that I love dearly recently said that fear is the tool of a tyrant, and she's right. But I'm not afraid, and I hope you're not either. I hope instead you are engaged, you are paying attention, and you will vote like your beloved country depends upon it, which it does. My heart is broken for the Department of Justice, but I have great confidence in the federal judicial system, and I'm innocent. So let's have a trial.
Yeah, I just threw up in my mouth a little bit hearing him talk about the Justice Department because of the way that he ran his role at the FBI. But here's the issue apparently at hand. And this goes back to testimony from 2020 with Senator Cruz.
Mr. McCabe, who works for you, has publicly and repeatedly stated that he leaked information to the Wall Street Journal and that you were directly aware of it and that you directly authorized it. Now, what Mr. McCabe is saying and what you testified to this committee cannot both be true. One or the other is false. Who's telling the truth?
I can only speak to my testimony. I stand by what the testimony you summarized that I gave in May of 2017.
Okay, so there's a lot to chew on here, and this is still a tough case to prosecute. But the one thing that I noticed when I was listening to CNN for about 25 minutes last night is never once, and I mean not once, did they raise the issue of whether or not he's guilty or not, or whether he lied. I think that's kind of an important part of the equation here.
I think so. And, you know, I don't know how many times have we seen over the last, you know, umpteen years where they've said charges have been filed or rather referred by Congress to the Justice Department, and they just sit on it, or they say, you know, we're not going to follow up with it. This is our policy. We don't prosecute people on for these. I think this is, let the process play out. If he's innocent, he's innocent. But, I mean, there is seriously some discrepancies here between these two testimonies, and nobody seems to be held accountable when they go before Congress and say things.
So there's been
an opportunity.
Yeah, there's been some IG reports on this. Andrew McCabe, who is certainly no fan of President Trump, he might be the key witness here, but I think there's conflicting testimony from Andrew McCabe. Jeff, I don't know what you think of this. I think the Republicans could have moved on with an agenda here without doing this, because one of the concerns that I had, and this is the concern I had last week with the FCC, is that, you know, it looks like political retribution, right?
So this is what I find both hilarious and actually encouraging. And that is, tactically, not politically, but tactically, President Trump is making all the same mistakes that the Democrats made. So the Democrats use lawfare to try to punish their enemies, to try to limit their enemies, and it didn't work. It failed miserably. He's doing the same tactic. They shut down free speech. It didn't work. He's shutting down free speech. He's really made it clear that he's going to get retribution against his enemies. I mean, he's called his shots. He got rid of prosecutors who wouldn't do it. He's doing tactically the very same things that Democrats did that the American people rejected. And going into the midterms, you know, I don't really like it for the country, but I like it for Democrats' chances in the midterms, because it failed for Democrats. It's going to fail for him.
Well, I do think the circumstances are a little different based
on... Yeah, of course
what,
you do.
Well, but I mean, based on the way that Trump was treated and all these other things. That Comey is not... Look, Comey is not your, you know... your picture boy for, you know, going after Trump, considering. And by the way, a lot of Democrats don't even like Comey for the way that he acted before.
Right. Hillary, but it's not just Comey.
It's personal for him.
It's not just Comey. He's going against the Attorney General of New York. I mean, he is firing people from within the bureaucracy, et cetera.
Yeah,
he made it
yeah.
really clear that this time around, he was going to reward the sycophants and he was going to punish his enemies. And that's what he's doing.
But didn't
and
you
it's going to fail.
Didn't your son I'm not saying...
Yes, of course they did, and it failed.
All right,
we lost.
All right. Yeah.
Right.
All right. At least we can agree on that. There you go. Yeah. James, any different perspective on that? Look,
no,
I don't know.
He's going to lose.
I think
he doesn't get to run again, so it doesn't matter.
No, midterms. I'm talking about the midterms.
He's worried about the midterms. That's why we're doing all this redistricting.
I think this is a little risky, because unless there's something that we don't know about, you got to get a conviction or a guilty plea here in order for this to be a victory for, you know, the Justice Department. And this is a little trickier than I think people might realize. And you'd have to have a jury in D.C., which would not be favorable, certainly, to President Trump. These things take a long time. I don't even know if this would drag through the midterms, because these things, the process takes so long.
Well, I was just going to say, I don't think you're going to get resolution of this before the midterms.
Probably not.
So that's not going to help in this dragging on.
But can defendants ask for a speedy trial?
Well, yeah, he can, but I don't think he will.
And Jane, is it hard to prove somebody lied?
It's very difficult.
Sure. Yes.
Yeah. Now, you can't just be mistaken, right?
And if he's
prove he lied.
It's gonna
and if
be
he's
a,
been preparing for the last year
right.
and his daughter, and, you know, if they've been preparing, I mean, yeah, then he should do a speedy trial. And I think these prosecutors, I think that will be very challenging for them.
Well, especially if you've got fill-in prosecutors who may not be as seasoned as some of these other prosecutors.
Right.
And so,
yeah.
you know, you've got somebody who's a politically picked prosecutor because they're willing to take the prosecution versus somebody who can make that case effectively, especially, as you said, in a speedy trial.
I don't know what he's guilty of. I think he's a sleazy guy, and the whole 86-47 with the rock formation on the beach was disgusting, and he acts like there was nothing to that. So,
by the way, don't forget, our side can't stand him either.
Right.
Clinton's election, I can't stand the guy either, but... You know, we still are a nation of laws.
And tactically, it does look bad. I mean, it's probably not going to work out in our favor in that regard. I mean, just politically, it's going to be something I think
it gives a lot of ammo to the left.
It gives them a lot of ammo.
Yeah. When he's a guy that should just go away, that's part of
what
I think.
And he was. He was gone.
Yeah, except in finding shells on the beach. Hang on. It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. We're coming.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm back. Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon. Jane Duker is here. She hangs out usually on a Friday until 5 o'clock, so she'll be with us in the next hour. Jeff Rainford with Rainford & Associates. James Knowles is with us this afternoon. He's the former mayor of Ferguson. So I don't know if anyone in this room watches Jimmy Kimmel on a regular basis. There was a time when I did watch his show, and I thought he was funny. I didn't know how all of this was going to manifest itself the week after the suspension. You know, the way that a lot of people were talking about this, including the president, was that he was fired. Well, he wasn't fired. They took a few days to kind of collect their breaths, and Jimmy comes on a couple of nights ago, and we knew he was going to cry, and he does, and he doesn't really apologize, but now we move on. But see, the issue with this is, and I've made this clear too, I don't like the government influence part of this. Even if it's a perception of it, I think it's wrong. I do think in the end, though, there was no censorship. He's back on the air. ABC and these networks, Jeff, you used to work in TV, Nexstar and Sinclair, they're making some statements and some decisions right now. But that thing got blown up real fast, and there was a lot of emotion, obviously, because of Charlie Kirk. But then the discussion became about freedom of speech, right?
Well, I'm almost an absolutist on freedom of speech. There are lots of other constitutional amendments that other people can, you know, search and seizure or whatever. But I'm almost an absolutist, maybe being a former journalist, on freedom of speech. And when it comes to comedians, you know, during the whole woke phase thing, my wife, Janet, and I watched Dave Chappelle, and Chappelle would make fun of everybody. He did not care.
Yeah, that's one thing that's good about Chappelle.
I love him.
Yeah. Everybody. And I, first of all, I did find him funny, but even if I didn't, I would watch him almost as an act of defiance.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that when you take on comedians in particular, now I'm not saying Jimmy Kimmel's funny. I don't watch his show. He's maybe funny, maybe he's not. But, you know, a lot of Americans are like, that's where we go to be free, where we can listen
to
crazy stuff, and nobody tells us we can't listen to it. And that's how I was with Chappelle during the woke stuff.
Yep.
I think where people get frustrated is that, and I just saw, you know, a statistic earlier today that how many people get their news from TikTok, or they really get their headlines from watching people like Jimmy Kimmel.
A lot more than we should be comfortable with.
And it's unfortunate because, you know, that's, you know, we talk about it as it's a comedian, and I love watching everybody get roasted. I don't care which side you're on, I laugh at it. But it's sad when you talk to somebody and they'll watch the same thing and then they'll take that as if it's a true, you know, as if it's something that's true, and then they turn that into the way that they form their politics or their voting habits, and you think, look, this is a caricature, it's a joke, it's funny. You know, they roasted, you know, they tried to make for years, you know, George W. Bush look like an idiot. And, you know, sometimes he didn't do himself any favors. But now we hear people talk about, oh, you know, he actually seems like he's a pretty good guy. He was actually not probably the worst president
ever.
Yeah,
but beyond that, it goes a step further.
Comedians made him seem terrible.
But on the flip side, this is where my side gets frustrated. Because you had for 8 years, and I guess maybe now 10 years, shows like SNL and, you know, the late night shows that won't even, you have obvious, I mean, talk about the Biden administration was gift to comedy writers, and they never touched it because of politics. You have people on the late night shows where they tried to do monologues that were funny.
Joe Biden's pretty funny.
I mean,
but they soft pedal
it.
They soft pedaled it. They did.
I mean, they do, because they want to get a couple laughs, but they really don't want to show. I mean, if they really wanted to, they could have savaged Joe Biden.
But no, let me make this other point, though, because Bill O'Reilly was on earlier this week, and here's a guy, he's got the number one bestseller in the nation. He usually does right now. This one's called Killing Evil. Bill used to be on these shows. You know, my friend Scott Jennings, who has been a blow-up, you know, star on CNN, he's one of the most popular conservatives in the country right now. He's only been invited to Bill Maher's show. So there used to be opportunities for people from the other side with respect to have people on that were of different political opinions. But in the era of Trump, that simply doesn't happen. And while I can appreciate Jimmy Kimmel's words the other night, and I hope that he was somewhat sincere, he can be a pretty mean-spirited, evil guy. And when he's talking about Trump, he's talking about 80 million people that voted for him.
Have you seen the South Park episode about
Donald Trump?
I've
heard about it. Oh, everybody, my gosh. That is,
you want
I've
to
heard
talk about over the top.
But good. I hope it's funny, and I hope it, they can do that.
Well,
I
that, have well, that satirical. Is, by the way, the other thing about funny is, when it comes to funny, you know, Donald Trump rightly will say, when he's made fun of, well, that guy's not funny. And my conservative friends, and I do have them, a lot of them, especially golfing friends, they'll find liberal humor not funny because it's about their targets. Likewise, I probably don't find conservative humor funny because it's about our targets. It's usually, you know.
Well, that's human nature, but I mean, right. I can laugh at things that they make fun of Trump over sometimes.
You're a little bit different. Most people find it, and this is where the first, this is where what happened under Democrats and progressives is, especially on college campuses, they, whether it was humor or anything else, they wanted to tell you what to think, what to say, what
to
do.
How to say it, right.
Now it's the right that is going to tell people what to say, what to think, and what to do. And as far as I'm concerned, whether
both
a guy's funny or not funny is irrelevant. You know, if people want to watch Jimmy Kimmel, I don't find him funny, but then they should watch
him. The only reason, again, James, the only reason this is an issue is because Brendan Carr and the FCC. And I get that a lot of people
that,
are saying,
that,
well,
for
look.
For me was the problem.
Well, again, yeah, for me was the total problem, because again, I feel like we cede some of the moral high ground to your side, because I disagree with you, Jeff. I disagree that we're going
to
start telling people how to say things.
No, I think it's more than that, though. I think this pressure on these, I don't particularly care, but the pressure on these two corporations that will not run Jimmy Kimmel because they're afraid.
Oh, Sinclair,
of,
they won't run in St. Louis.
President coming down on their merger or whatever, or this doxing or whatever it's called on the internet, where people on the right or people on the left are going to start boycotting, and so they, you know, they, you know, it's a lot more the limits. Now, this is not free speech because that's only the government, but the limit on speech, the, you know, the FCC guy was never going to succeed. But what the left did on college campuses, and now what the right is trying to do to suppress speech, and again, it's not government speech, so they can do whatever they want. That, I think, is the part of it that's a more powerful force in our society.
Did you
and
say
I wish they would, both of them, just.
Did you say Sinclair reversed? Did they reverse their
right.
reverse?
There was, there was an article that said that they're reversing that.
In their markets, they're going to put them on.
Yeah. Good.
But you know, South Park, by the way, pulled after Charlie Kirk was murdered, pulled the Charlie Kirk caricature.
They shouldn't
episode.
Have.
But then it was Turning Point USA who came back and said, you know what?
Put it up there.
Charlie Kirk loved that episode. He thought it was funny. Put it back, and they did.
Yeah, I played the audio, and Charlie actually gave it, you know, his own kind of personal review. And again, out of sensitivity, I understand why they did it originally, but I'm glad that there was pressure in the other direction, so they put it up there.
I do want to say, just for the record, I know it's a little off topic, I thought what Mrs. Kirk said at the eulogy and at the service was one of the best things I've heard in America in the last 20 years. I thought that was awesome what she said. Other people said knuckleheaded stuff, but what she said, I hope the left starts, maybe we can start learning from each other on how to argue and disagree and not hate each other. But I thought what she said was awesome.
Well, and it was. And the whole movement and the way it came together, I've underestimated the reach that he had. And I think a lot of people were taken with what happened last week at the memorial service, for sure. One thing I would say about the Chappelle and all that, you know, where these late night guys used to be comedians, they're doing political monologues, essentially,
absolutely,
in many cases.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, if that's what Colbert's thing is, that was his thing. It gave him.
So,
well, Greg Gutfeld does
it. Radio kind of was the same way. And then Rush Limbaugh came around and found a market.
Right.
CNN was the same way. And Fox came and found a market. If there is a market for funny, conservative comics, they will find the market.
And well, I think some of it was the way that Jimmy Kimmel. I think,
and they have. Greg Gutfeld has found, but he's not included in the arguments because his show airs at 10 o'clock and not at 10:30. But his audience is twice.
There
that,
you go.
More than twice
then
that.
There's
of
nothing
Jimmy
to
Kimmel.
Complain about. People are watching what they want to watch. It's kind of how
it's
it works.
The free market, isn't it?
Exactly.
We're coming back with more.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, the host, as usual, not completely up to speed on the stories of the day. So Sue Thomas comes in with the Sinclair news release here that says Sinclair today announced that it will end its preemption of Jimmy Kimmel Live, and the show will return this evening on Sinclair's ABC affiliates. They say our objective throughout this process has been to ensure that programming remains accurate and engaging for the widest possible audience. We take seriously our responsibility as local broadcasters to provide programming that serves the interests of our communities while also honoring our obligations to air national network programming. So they kind of go on. It's a lengthy statement, but they are bringing him back tonight. So thank you, Sue Thomas, for correcting that, and James, too, for bringing that up, because I was unaware. Here's the reason. I'm just going to be honest. I was watching the Ryder Cup all morning, not paying attention to the news.
That's important,
and I know
too.
I have support from, at the very least, Jeff Rainford on that. Did anyone pay attention to the UN speech, like the actual content of the UN speech very much? Because I thought it was an interesting, I mean, he scolded these UN members. Now, the story that comes out of it, of course, is the teleprompter goes out and the escalator fails at the last minute, which that kind of seems weird. And Rainford, you know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, but the whole escalator thing does seem a little odd to me. I don't know that there's really anything you can do about it.
Well, I mean, it's always possible, like one of the handymen did something like that. It'd be shocking if the people at the top did. Listen, the UN has been ineffective for a really long time, and that's a real problem. I'm reading The Rise and Fall of the Third Reich, and one of the things that contributed to Nazism, the Nazi party in Germany, was that the United Nations didn't go along with the League of Nations. And so having a strong international force or presence is a good idea, not for a national world government, but just to, you know, be able to handle situations like happened before World War One, World War Two, the Cold War, and all that. And he's right. I mean, does anybody in this room take the United Nations seriously on pretty much anything?
Not for a while.
No. Yeah. I don't.
Nope. Yeah, you don't trash it. You just make it better. I mean, we do need to have some sort of you know, not governing, but some sort of, even if advisory body that, you know, because, you know, stuff doesn't stay within a border, and it doesn't stay, a fight doesn't stay between two people. It never does. So, but I get sick of people bashing it, and I say, well, we need to make it better. I mean, you know, just because you don't get rid of something because it's ineffective, you make it effective.
Well, let me kind of piggyback on what you said about the Third Reich, because you have, from many on your side, Jeff, Gestapo, Gestapo, Gestapo when it comes to ICE. And then those of us who support President Trump in any way, shape, or form are Nazis. And, you know, it's all about these references and these words that now disappeared is another one. Oh, they've disappeared, these people, when it comes to ICE agents, just scooping them up off the street. Now we have a guy who is a white kid, 29 years old, who decides, and he's leaving notes now, and he's got engravings on bullets that are against ICE. And you're going to tell me, I don't know, you might not tell me, that the language and the rhetoric that's been used all along here doesn't have an effect on some people?
So, of course it does. And the language, is, you know, especially during the woke time, but the language from the far left was radical, and it was inciting. But the right, including President Trump, does anybody remember the speech that he gave right before the riot inside the Capitol building? So, I care deeply about political issues, but this idea, you know, on the far right, that you have to hate the left, and the far left that you hate the right, going back to World War II, the Nazis wanted big government, the Soviets wanted big government, but the only difference was they hated each other, but their tactics were exactly the same. In the United States, the right hates the left hates the right, and their tactics, their politics aren't the same, but their tactics are almost the same. And those of us in the middle...
Charlie Kirk was assassinated, how many buildings in how many cities were burned down? Grocery stores ransacked.
Well, what about the riot inside the Capitol
building?
Okay,
I know you guys all want to go to that. It was horrible. I condemned it at the time. I condemn it strongly right now. By the way, there's an interesting story on that today that has like 250 FBI agents in plain clothes were amongst all those people on that day, which is kind of interesting. Yeah, that was horrible.
What's crazy is saying, oh, there's less right-wing violence than left-wing violence, or less left-wing violence than right-wing violence. The fact of the matter is there's right-wing and left-wing violence, and somehow we got to bring this under control.
Okay, there is both, but let's face the stories that have been dominating the news coverage that have been gaslit by people on the left calling us Nazis and Gestapo, that's been consistently on the left.
He calls them communists.
Exactly.
Well, you got a communist that's running for mayor of New York. I mean, come on.
But not all.
That's my point. Yeah. My point is they self-proclaim that, though.
The far right thinks it's right. The far left thinks it's right. And there is no room for any other nuance or anything. And there's 60% of us in the middle who are getting tired of it. And as a Democrat, we blew it last time. And I actually, on this show, I remember saying it when President Trump was in there. I was like, he's going to lose the next election and then we're going to overreach, which we did. I hope we finally learn our lesson understand that the American people don't want this on the right or the left.
But look, there's been some pretty interesting. Let me play this. This is Harry Enten. And this is early. You know, we're more than a year away from the midterms. Well, the primary would be next August. But the polling on some of these issues for the Democrats, it's just not turning around and it's getting worse. And this is CNN.
This particular point, the Democrats are the New Orleans Saints of political parties. So whatever Democrats are doing, it ain't working.
I mean, they're 22 points down on crime. They're double digits on immigration. They're double digits on, you know, some of these other issues when it comes to the economy. So you
trans.
Got, what's that?
And they're still talking about trans people. They're still talking about, things that the American people just really aren't interested in. Nobody's talking about education. Nobody's talking about energy. Nobody's talking about the fundamental things that we need to move, you know, forward as a country. And so, it's disheartening because, you know, Trump is not all wrong and he's not all right. Nobody is.
I think it's unfortunate that both sides just keep playing to their base. And I think, you know, Jeff, you're right.
They don't even attempt.
There's a lot in the middle. And I think as you look at the polling numbers, I think you see more people going to the middle.
Yes.
Because even as those numbers change, you see Republicans even starting to shift, like, I don't know if I'm really this far on this
well
issue,
but
issue.
I think they take that from leadership. I think I wish there were more
they
examples
do.
So what I would say about all this, look, we've got perfect examples here in the last couple of weeks, and I was proud personally and still kind of wondering why there aren't more people like Ted Cruz that came out and forcefully condemned Brendan Carr and the FCC stuff. But on the other side of the equation, John Fetterman seemingly is the only guy on your side that's calling out some of the nonsense on, you know, the anti-Semitism and the hatred toward Charlie Kirk. So I'd like a little bit of consistency with more principled people, but that's too much to ask for in this political era, unfortunately.
I think we're going to see how it plays out with this shutdown of the government because
it
remains to be seen which side ends up getting blamed for it.
By voters.
And if we come out and say we're going to shut down the government unless trans people get money, you know, that would be stupid. And if the president says, well, I'm just going to fire a bunch of people, you know, heartlessly, that would be stupid. It'll be interesting to see if either one of them figures out how to message it and how to do the politics, because it'll be an opportunity for one of them.
The Republicans already have their message. They already have their discipline. The Democrats are shutting down the government because they want health care for illegals.
It's the Schumer shutdown.
Yeah. Schumer shutdown, and they want to give health care to illegals. That's what this shutdown's about. Now, whether the American people will believe them or not, that's, you know, they can make up whatever talking point they want.
My sense would be the American people will be heavily influenced by the American media, which does not lean anywhere close to the middle or to the right. So the narrative from the legacy media is going to favor your side. I don't know what's going to happen. I wish they wouldn't shut down the government. And by the way, if they do, we're going to have to do this in 3 months anyway. So they sent the CR that was pretty clean from the House to the Senate. They can't, you know, apparently pass anything out of there with enough votes. And I, you know, look, when it comes to government shutdown, people who are furloughed, they're military folks. You want them to get their pay, but there's back pay that's involved eventually when these things get settled. I don't want anyone to be inconvenienced, especially someone that's living on a, you know, on a fixed income. I can't believe we're at this point anymore. I mean, it's just like shutdown 4 months later.
We just can't
later,
pass
shutdown.
A budget.
And that's, and we haven't, yeah.
That's both
been able to do that in 15 years.
Right.
So, yeah, 15
it's both
years
parties.
Been,
and it's terrible. And it's irresponsible. And nobody wants to make the hard decisions. And you know what? Governing's hard. And you know what? I mean, you either raise revenue or you cut expenses. This is, I mean,
they keep changing
people live
the rules.
Like that every day.
They keep changing the rules to make it easier for them to kick the can down the road.
Yes.
So, you know, they're the ones that don't want to make the decision. The rules used to be set up so that they had to force themselves to make a hard decision.
Correct.
And now they just say, well, we'll just change. And that's what we do in politics anymore. We just change the rules every time we don't like them. But that's making it really difficult to accomplish.
But the stakes here are really high for this president, because if he loses the House in the midterms, he is a lame duck. And even Republicans will start looking out for themselves then. And for all intents and purposes, it will be the end of his political career.
And by the way, that happens with every president, because when you're a lame duck, you're a lame duck.
Well,
and he's already a lame
duck. you know, Ted Cruz, who's represented by Jeff Rowe, who has a thing going with President Trump. You're going to see more and more of that if he loses the midterms. And so I think the stakes are really high for the president to get this right. We have a little more time to get it right or wrong. We want to have it done by the next presidential election. I do think the national people, you still have these stupid nonprofits and these college professors and other people who are far left, maybe not even Democrats, who say and do stupid things. It'll be interesting what Jeffries and what Schumer do during the shutdown and how they handle it. And if they blow it, then you know, they had their opportunity and they blew it.
It's the Reardon Roundtable on a Friday. We got one more segment to go. Hang in there. Reardon Roundtable on a Friday afternoon, taking into the weekend. Jane Duker is here. She's going to hang in the next hour. We'll have a Friday edition of Sue's News, and then Paul Hall on entertainment, and Frank Cusimano. We'll talk a little sports. I think the Cardinals are actually in action, not doing so well in Chicago this afternoon. We'll talk about them in just a couple of minutes. James Knowles, the former mayor of Ferguson, is here. Jeff Rainford with Rainford & Associates. And I mentioned, Jane, a couple more topics to work through. I just have to touch on a little bit more national politics, because I'm sure we're all going to cozy up, at least for a little while, on our patios or our decks this weekend with Kamala's new book. James, are you ready to take it all in and read about her disaster of a campaign?
Which... I think I might. After all the snippets I've heard, I mean, it sounds really juicy. I mean, she's not making herself any friends. She's clearly not setting herself for any future runs, at least in a Democratic primary.
Jane, doesn't she still think, though, that maybe she has some political future? It sounds like, from what I'm hearing in some of the softball interviews,
I don't know
her
that
book
she
release.
Wants a political future, but she probably wants a influence future. And so maybe, you know, maybe her view is, hey, if, you know, I say it like I think it is, then maybe that will give me a space somewhere.
Throw shade on everybody else and I'll get out clean. I mean, well, that's what she seems to be doing.
In fairness to our two Democrats in the room.
In fairness to her, there is a lot to not be happy about in the Democratic organization.
Well, that's true. But in fairness to both of you, my Democrats in the room, you weren't all, you know, all in on Kamala and her success story anyway. Yeah, I do find it interesting that she's, you know, rolling these things out. And then the other thing that's great is that she did the audio. She narrated the audiobook herself, which I guess a lot of people do
the
that.
The vanity of
celebrities.
Trump's vain too, but I mean the vanity of that. I mean,
she couldn't get anybody to replicate her laugh, so she probably had to do it herself.
That's probably true. But she does seem to be just a little confused on her lack of popularity with a good portion of the American people. Obviously, the left hated Trump. They were going to vote for her no matter what. But in the aftermath of that election, just take the immigration issue, and I don't know how much she writes about this, but just that issue, which she, I'm sure, portrays herself as unfairly blamed for because, you know, they tapped her as the czar and it wasn't the official title. But just on that issue, I would hope that there would be a moment with Kamala and Doug where they can sit down and say, you know, maybe letting millions of people just stream across the border uncontrollably was not a good idea. In retrospect, just like on that issue, and say maybe we kind of screwed that up, and you know all this defund the police and social work stuff, that wasn't a good idea either. But it doesn't seem like,
you know,
she's come to terms with it. Some Democrats have, you have, Jane has, Fetterman has,
So
she hasn't.
So yeah, I like that idea, and my suggestion would be I hope someday President Trump and his wife wake up and say, you know, tariffs are a terrible idea, but I'm not going to hold my breath for either one of those.
But why are they? See, here's the other thing about the tariff thing, and I'm not an expert on this, and I wasn't real crazy the way they rolled out, but I do remember 6 months ago that there was a lot of panic about this, what it was going to do to the economy, what it was going to do to the stock market. The stock market's over 46,000 right now. The economy is not in, you know, recession territory.
Except that if you, my national Democrat friends tell me that the American people are still very anxious about inflation.
And they should be.
Inflation is the one issue that could turn this midterm. I mean, there's a bunch of issues that could go either way, but it's the one issue that they are counting on that's going to give them a leg up during the midterms. And tariffs are not helping with inflation. And by the way, I don't even know what the president's strategy for inflation is.
Well, there's risk there. There's no doubt. Look, we're going to be sitting here in 6 months, you know, 8 months, and looking at where the economy is, and that's going to be a big determining factor.
Same thing with interest rates, by the way. You don't raise interest rates to lower inflation.
No, well,
you don't lower interest rates to lower inflation.
But that's what this whole thing has been about, though. He wants low interest rates. That's his way of thinking. That's how he functioned as a business person. Use right. everybody else's money. Don't pay any interest on it. And, you know, do what you, you know, and that's going to make the world go round. And so he forced all of this. The tariffs were not because
the economy they weren't forced the end. This. The, you know, he mouthed off to Jay Powell, but this was, you take Trump out of the mix and this economy is in the shape that it is right now, you're going to reduce rates.
Right.
So, in long time coming, and they're probably going to do it again before the end of the year. Now,
and there's an up and downside to both sides of it. And, you know, you hear the Fed talk about it, but I mean, you just got to pick which your priority here. And I think that's what the growth is the priority, and that's what the president wants.
Unfortunately, mortgage rates don't directly correlate with a drop in the Fed rate. And what I think a lot of people want, and it's probably not going to happen, is you cannot. No one's going to be refining their house or selling their house when they have a 6% rate if they're sitting at 3.2 right now, right? Which correct. I am. A lot of us are because we refied when those rates were that
and
low.
And that's when people, that's what people think about when you say lower interest rates. They think, oh, I'm going to be able to refi my house.
They
I'm gonna
do.
I'm going to be able to house up. I'm right. going to be able to pay off debt with my with a refi. And no,
and that's not happening right now because
credit
mortgage rates are still high.
Down.
And that may never happen
credit
again.
Credit card rates
low.
Are marginally adjusted, but not, look, you're paying 27, 28% on some of those anyway.
Unfortunately, right. there's a generation of consumers right now that's their target. You know, when I talk to my parents, they're like, hey, it was, you know, whatever, 15, 16%
yes.
when they bought the house. So, yes. you know, the house I grew up in.
It's absolutely a psychological measure because in the 70s, I remember when if you could get a 6% interest on a home loan, you were like, you know.
Loving life.
You were
the problem is that people's benchmark is forever going to be 3%.
Exactly.
Nobody's ever going to get that.
Correct. No, they won't. And that's where they're at right now is probably a more realistic
correct.
Point,
right.
certainly for history. But yeah, no one is going to get that again. And that's, but the problem with that is that we were all chugging along on that. And if, you know, you need to pull cash out for home improvements and you wanted to spur the economy because you're buying appliances and that stuff is really peeled back and that's where there's some danger. 1 minute left. Rainford. I had Bill DeWitt III on yesterday because he met the Pope last week. It was actually a really cool story.
Cool.
But the Cardinals have wrapped up their home, you know, season here. They're not to be coming back in October. We got lots of challenges, don't we, here with baseball?
Yeah, I'll keep it short, but I mean, I'm very glad this season is over. I'm glad Mo's tenure is over. And Bloom's tenure is beginning. I know it will take time, but this is, we've now, I think, and I think we're losing 11-1 today. We are hitting rock bottom today, and I do think they'll go up. Maybe not as fast as people want, but all of these things that are happening were necessary. And so this is the bottom, and hopefully
yeah,
it's up for me.
We've got to get some hope over the offseason. I think with Mo, it was probably 1 year too late. I'm not a Mo hater. I think he has a lot of success and deserves a lot of accolades, but it was time.
But it was time.
And past time, for sure. James Knowles, great to see you. Thanks for coming in. I know you have a little bit of an extra drive to get here downtown, plus you're risking your safety, which is always an issue as well, but it's good to have you in. Rainford, we'll see you on the golf course soon.
Sounds good.
The American's not doing so well at the Ryder Cup. We're going to keep you posted on that. Dan Reardon will be here before the end of the show. And Jane, you're going to hang out.
Yes.
We're coming back with Sue's News in the 4 o'clock hour. I have a very serious smoke detector issue that I need to explain right after Fox News. The team will have to chime in. It's coming up.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hi, I'm Nancy Cartwright. You may know me better as the voice of Bart Simpson.
On Simpsons Declassified, we're diving into the mysteries that keep the Simpsons forever young. Have you ever wondered how the Simpsons regularly predicts future events? Who better to ask than the show's creators, performers, and writers? The celebrity guests. Be sure to follow and listen to Simpsons Declassified wherever you get your podcasts.